So how many of you know that we are on the 11th day of June, which is the Pride Month? How many of you know that? Okay, most of you do. So we talk in Unity Santa Fe about being a welcoming community, diverse, inclusive of all beings. And that includes people of different races, genders, colors, the LGBTQ folks. And is it okay if, because I believe in talking about things that are real, that are happening in the world. Are you okay with me talking to you about gay pride and all of this today? Because it's about learning. I tell you, I researched some things and I learned some things. So even though I'm an openly gay lesbian out in the world, that doesn't mean I know everything. In fact, I'm always looking to see what it is that I don't know that I don't know. So I want to talk to you specifically about the community and gay pride. And the song True Colors was such a perfect song. So grateful. So how many of you know how gay pride started, when it started, and why it started? Anyone? Okay, we got some hands. All right, little history lesson for, you know, just to have an awareness. So the origins, actually, Pride is celebrated mostly in June to commemorate the roots of the Stonewall riots that happened in June 1969. The origins were actually gay rights started in the 1920s, and they started a group called the Society for Human Rights. However, progress for LGBTQ plus rights was very minimal. And it was in New York City. The New York Police Department would occasionally raid the bars and the clubs and the restaurants where gays and lesbians were known to gather. This occurred once again on June 28th, 1969, when the NYPD raided the Stonewall Inn, which is a bar in Greenwich Village neighborhood of Manhattan. When the police aggressively dragged patrons and employees out of the bar, several people fought back, and a growing crowd of local folks gathered in the streets. These confrontations continued to escalate, and there was 6 days of protests and violent clashes with the NYPD outside of the Stonewall Inn on Christopher Street and throughout the neighborhood. By the time that these 6 days had gone by on July 2nd, the gay rights movement went from being a fringe issue, largely ignored by politicians and the media, to front page news worldwide. 1 year later, they had their first gay pride march. It was the parade during the anniversary of the Stonewall riots. The activists in New York City marched through the streets, and the march was actually named the Christopher Street Liberation Day, which then changed to the Gay Pride. So it was considered the first gay pride parade. And is it warm in here? I'm like, okay. So can we, I'm like, I don't know if it's just me. So if we could change that, that would be great. I don't know if it was just me having a flash, but. So New York City was the first place, but also there were parades in Chicago, Los Angeles, also in San Francisco. And it wasn't until the 2000s where things started to change. For instance, being able to legalize gay marriages, you know, just because I love somebody of the same gender doesn't mean anything other than I love them and I have a loving relationship. It doesn't even make sense, but we're going to go on. It was in June 2000, President Clinton officially designated June as the Gay and Lesbian Pride Month in recognition of the Stonewall riots. And a more inclusive name was then chosen in 2009 by President Barack Obama, calling it the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. The origins of Gay Pride Month were also honored by Obama in 2016 when he created the Stonewall National Monument. It was a 7.7 acre around the Stonewall Inn where the gay rights movement started. So, did you learn, anybody learn a little something that you may not have known? So, there is a whole lot of discrimination, hate, and violence against people who are of the LGBTQIA+. I know there's a whole lot of things. We're not going to get into what all that is because you can look it up. Google will help you understand if you don't know what these terms mean. But I want you to know that it was last Tuesday, June 6th, that the Human Rights Campaign declared a national state of emergency for the LGBTQ plus people. That just blows my mind. They wrote, the LGBTQ plus Americans are living in a state of emergency. The multiplying threats facing millions in our community are not just perceived, they are real, tangible, and dangerous. In many cases, the resulting violence requires some families in some states to leave because of their fear of being safe and not feeling safe where they live. This historic announcement, just a few days into the Pride Month, follows an unprecedented wave of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation in 2023. Did you know that across the U.S. legislatures that at least 417 anti-LGBTQ bills were introduced in roughly the first quarter of 2023? That means the rights are being denied, taken away. This is serious. I don't like to usually get this serious, but this is happening. And, you know, you may not know about it because it doesn't, maybe it's not in your world or you're not watching the news, which is probably a healthy thing. However, it's also important to know what's going on and to understand that there is a war and it's coming down on the LGBT, the L's. I'm just like trying to put all those initials back and forth again and again. This was a new record and twice the number of bills introduced all of last year, according to the American Civil Liberties Union data. So, we have a serious crisis on our hands, unbeknownst to a lot of people. It's kind of in the closet, you know, to know what's really happening for people of this community, which I happen to be one of. And because I don't want to hide who I am. So here we go. May the pride be with you, okay? And let's not forget, I mean, I went on the pride train yesterday. That was a blast. Chris was on that train. And and I was told by a couple people they vote that my shirt was the best. So I'm like, okay, that's great. So there we go. Officially. So how many of you have experienced discrimination in your own life based on your age, gender, sexual orientation, race, religion, ethnicity, family status, or because of a disability? Oh my gosh, you know, everybody in here has just raised their hand pretty much. And if you didn't raise your hand, you knew somebody who has had discrimination. And the definition of discrimination is, it's the unjust or prejudice. Maybe I'm having some issues talking fast too. I'll slow it down. Prejudicial treatment of different categories of people or things, especially those of race, age, gender, or sexual orientation. Now, would you mind if I tell you a little bit about myself and my experience of being a lesbian? Would you be okay with you? If not, I guess I'd have to ask you to maybe leave. But I just want to share. So the first time I heard the word lesbian or gay was in high school. And I kind of didn't know what it meant, but we were told, stay away from Roberta and Terry. I'm like, okay, I don't get it. And then it was when I was 17, I fell in love. It was such a sweet love. I fell in love with Marcia. It was such a pure, innocent, unconditional, sweet love. It was the best thing ever. I still am in communication with Marcia. She lives in Florida. I love that my first love, we still communicate. Now, she and I went to separate schools. Now, we fell in love in the summer, and then during the come back to school season, some of my ball team, as I played volleyball and such, I was getting kind of this cold shoulder from them. And I suspect it was because I was in a relationship with Marcia. The peer pressure and whatnot was a little too much for me, and I broke up with Marcia. But I just wanted to be with Marcia, to be honest, but I didn't want to hurt her again. I then went away to a Christian college at age 19 or 20, and I ended up having a crush on one of the girls in the dorm. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with my feelings? It's not okay to express them, but is suppressing or repressing them healthy either? I'd never really got an answer to that. What do I do with my feelings? I went away. I actually left college, fell in love, blew off college, and continued to have relationships on and off, not really knowing how to have a healthy relationship. Did you get a manual on how to have a healthy relationship? Go figure. So it was age 25 when I realized I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship, and I decided to give my relationship life to God. Because God, you know how to have a healthy relationship, probably better. And I also told God, you have permission to make me straight if you want me that way. So what happened is the voice within me, Spirit's voice, said, Liz, I love you just as you are. Liz, I want you to be who you are. And Liz, I need you to be who you are. I never had another question about that. It was clear. I'm loved because we're all made in the image and likeness of God, and God is diverse, not just one way. You know, it's the diversity. So life goes on. I still really don't know how to have a healthy relationship. But I go to, in 1995, to the Church of Religious Science in Huntington Beach, Reverend Mary Murray Shelton. We had a congregation, I believe, of 1,000 people. And what I learned was that she had been married and divorced. And one day in her community of 1,000 people, she came out. Now, she hadn't told people that she was in a relationship with another woman. And her words were, I never planned, intended, or imagined that I would fall in love with another woman. But I have. And I don't feel right in not sharing that. Now, I don't know if Reverend Mary had any feedback negatively, because I never asked her and I don't know. I don't suspect she did. However, and I don't know how she felt going on stage and coming out to that many people. I would imagine that she might have had some fear, right? Trepidation, because we never know how people are going to react or act or respond to our coming out. It's so sad that that is the way it is. And because you're different, just because you're different from you, from somebody else, that you would judge and call them something other than wonderful and divine. Now, speaking of different, I have a new friend who I met at a drag king show. I didn't know there was such a thing where, you know, I'd heard of drag queen shows, men dress up in the finery. And by the way, there's this, they have this whole thing about people that are doing drag shows. Like, that's a really bad thing. You want to know how many TV shows that actually have cross-dressing in them? I have a whole list if you want to see it. Actually, go to the Christ Lutheran in Santa Fe. They have something that I just saw today, and I went, oh, but I don't want to take up the entire service with this talk, although I could be on here forever. But there's this person I met, and they were sitting in the audience at a drag king show, and I noticed that they had like this mohawk, and it was rainbow color. Now, I love people who are out of the box, who are different, who are unique. So I, of course, went up to this person, and then we spoke and we talked. They've become my friend. I also called them and asked if I said, I'd like to speak of you in the talk. Is that okay? And I won't mention your name. Well, Lisa said, no, it's okay. You can use my name. Now, if you have noticed, I'm using the pronouns they and them when I speak of Lise, because Lise is non-binary and transgender. Now, some of you may not know what that really means. Non-binary means that it is a person who doesn't associate as full-on female or male, doesn't relate to he and him, or she and her. So it goes into the they, them. Now, it's a little easy to not get into that, but I have been practicing my they, thems, and sometimes I still slip. Now, it really actually is respect for Lise and anyone else. And when I was on the Pride train last night in Santa Fe, I had some meetings with a few people that were, I didn't know if they were, what their pronouns were. So in respect, I ask, what pronouns you prefer? And I had a few people say they, them. And I love that people are willing to step out of that box of being labeled and fit in a box. Now, Lise does not fit in any box whatsoever. Very, very colorful being. They have not just the rainbow hair, but they also have beautiful tattoos all over their body. Now, I mentioned transgender. You might go, what is transgender? Well, transgender person is someone who does not identify with the sex that they were born into as. So Lise was born as a female and yet never felt that that was really how they identified, felt more of the masculine. Lise had breast cancer in one breast. And they asked, please remove both. Lise has said that they have finally the body that they are happy with. They weren't comfortable in the body that they had been assigned at birth. Now, I have a great love and alliance with transgender folks. I think how hard that must be to not feel comfortable in your own born with a body. So number one, there's a struggle. Lise has actually tried to take their life on a couple occasions and battles with depression. And I don't know all the reasons of that, but I suspect perhaps it's because they have not felt that they could be fully who they really are. So the transgender folks, number one, struggle because they want to be accepted. They want to have the body. They want to be recognized for who they feel that they really relate more as. And then there's people that hate the transgenders. So they are like slammed down just because they are different. It just boggles my mind. It is so messed up. Lise is one of the most colorful people I know. Lise is not going to be in the box. I believe Lise has a ministry and does drag king shows and is a gender bender. Pretty much. Gender bender will wear heels and puts on the beard. I'm just loving it because this person refuses to be put in a box. Have you ever felt like you were in a box and you kind of had to be like how you had to be? We all do. We do because we have a society that judges and wants to. Discrimination is what we are born into because when we are born, we first recognize that there's boys and there's girls. But then there is a value placed on what a boy is, what a boy does, what a boy can do, and a girl. These are learned, they are taught. And if they weren't, then we'd be free. But we're taught this. Discrimination is a taught thing. It is taught by parents, peers, society, the world, religions, you name it. There is this, and I want to break free. I want to break free and really honor and support those, especially of the transgender and all LGBTQ. We have a Pride booth this year. I actually was asked yesterday, I love this, that I get to give the blessing in the plaza along with Michelle Grisham, right? So thank you to Kevin Bowen of the HRA. He asked me last night on the Pride train and said, would you be willing to do a blessing? I'm like, heck yeah. That's what I'm here for, to support and to love. And so just to wrap this up, there is, what can you do? What can you do to be an ally, right? Now, one of the things, there is a transgender cultural fluency training that is happening. We have a couple trainings, and I had seen on the HRA newsletter that the Christ Lutheran Church on Saturday, June 17th from 1 to 4, to help learn to understand the transgender community. And again, there was 417 anti-LGBTQ pieces of legislation. I have made prints out of this. So on that tells you about the transgender fluency cultural training that is at the Christ Lutheran Church. It's also going to be at Meow Wolf on Wednesday, June 21st at 5:30. And part of this also has the thing about the movies and TV shows that I've mentioned, and the cause of everything. All this legislation is politics. Nah, really? I don't like to bring politics into it, but politics is really a big part of what is going on. And the Christ Lutheran Church wrote, it's the oldest political game around. Don't want to address the real issues that you don't have answers for? Let's point at vulnerable group and tell everyone that their problems are the fault of this horrible group, whether they're Jewish, Hitler, witches, Salem, communists, the Red Scare, or homosexuals. That's why it's so important that we stand up as an ally for this community, this bigotry. We are a welcoming church. How welcoming are we? We want to show up and say we're here, and we're here to support all beings in who they came to be. I also have another sheet of paper that is out there in the community room. We put up a little table with this and the other sheet. And one of the sheets, I had to do an acronym. Would I be here if I don't do acronyms? So it's PRIDE. In brief, P. P stands for pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on in the news, in the politics, and vote. Pay attention. You're not paying attention, then it's not going to be. We're part of the problem if we're not paying attention to what's going on. R means to remember to recognize that everybody's the divine. Everybody, no matter what color, what gender, it doesn't matter. They're still the divine in a very unique, diverse package. I actually told Lise, we don't believe in sin here at Unity. Everyone's the divine. But later I thought about sin. And sin means missing the mark. It's an archering term. And what Spirit said to me, you know, the only sin there is? And when you miss the mark and you aren't being who you truly are. When you can't be who you are, you feel scared, okay? It takes courage. It takes courage. And that means to do things that are going against the grain. And to be vulnerable is actually one of the greatest acts of courage, according to Brené Brown. And Brené actually says, what does she say? Well, she says something profound. It's around here. Well, trust me. Trust me. Brené Brown basically says, it's when you're vulnerable is the greatest measure of courage. That is when you're willing to stand up and be seen, even when it could be scary and dangerous. There might be trepidation. Some churches, I was in a church, we put gay flags out front. I went on vacation, I came back, they weren't there. And I thought, what's that about? And I thought, maybe the church is afraid to be seen as a gay-friendly, LGBTQ-friendly church. Because maybe you're inviting trouble for those that are looking to cause trouble. Just saying, you know, it's not like, okay. I mean, there is some threats out there. There is something called the Proud Boys that we're looking to disrupt these pride festivals. I pray that it doesn't. So back to P-R-I-D. Okay, I stands for, because we're remembering everyone is the divine. I means to include the LGBTQ plus people in your prayers and perhaps in your activities. Okay? To include. D means to diversify. Step outside your box and go to a drag king show. Do something that you haven't done before and see what it's like. It's not that. It's actually quite entertaining. Diversify. Make friends with somebody. Get to know. And then the E stands for to educate. Educate yourself and share what you learn with others. We need to take pride in who we are. We need to be allies in those people, for everybody. True colors. And I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. And that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show. Your true colors are beautiful, like a rainbow. Thank you.